Last week we talked about before the wedding, and we'll continue in that thought today, but I want to read you this. New York winery and wine tasting tour with a wine expert. Highlights: enjoy an exclusive New York City wine tasting tour with a private wine expert guide. Taste 4 to 6 locally produced wines, paired snacks, and appetizers. Discover unique wine flavors and aromas from vines cultivated in New York State. Visit 2 of the best local wine bars and see the highlights of the Big Apple. Take private transfers to a local winery and admire the scenic vineyards with over 470 wineries and 11 American, bear with me, viticultural areas. New York State is undoubtedly a leading player in U.S. wine production. Join us on this exclusive tour to celebrate the unique flavors and aromas of grapes and wines from diverse regions of New York. Only $133.53. Guaranteed lowest price. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to do that for nothing. We're going to go on a wine tasting tour. We kind of began it last week, and we'll continue. I think the word is vicariously. In other words, we're going to taste it through other people that already tasted it. We're going to reap the consequences of those that already reaped consequences just by taking a tour through the Word of God. The Bible, let me remind you, I know it's simple, but is our final authority for all matters of faith and practice for the Christian. It's a lamp, it's a light for living, and it's a good one, I might add. I don't just believe it, I've proven it for 3+ decades. And an important principle of Bible study is found in Isaiah 28 and Acts chapter 20. Isaiah chapter 28, because as important as studying the Bible is how we study the Bible. Isaiah 28, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Good, coming off the subject we just learned a little while ago. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, spiritually speaking. How so? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You see, that's just not studying the word. That's how you study it. A little bit building, a little bit building. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 27, the Apostle Paul speaking. Let's start in 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. You know, that's a good verse for a preacher in his later years. A goal of a preacher should be, if you go to hell, you won't put it on me. If you mess up in sin, you won't put it on me. Why? Why? 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So, finding a passage for a topic in Bible study is not the end of the Bible study, it's the beginning of the Bible study. So I find a passage in John 2 that Jesus turned water into wine to build my life and my behavior and my Christian practice around that one verse in relation to this subject, this topic, which is very, very crucial and can have a very, very big impact on one's life. I want to be very, very careful not to build on that one thing. I want to build precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, and take what the whole counsel of God says concerning this subject. Go to Amos chapter 4. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. That should help you. You can find Daniel. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. You got to be careful cherry-picking verses. Amos chapter 4. Verse 4. This is God speaking. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. That's God speaking. Come to Bethel and sin. Let me ask you something. I know this doesn't fit our God model, but is that a command of God to come to Bethel and transgress, to multiply transgression? No. Again, I know it doesn't fit our God model, but it's sarcasm. So I want to be careful to not to build my life around a verse that I just cherry pick. That's what I'm trying to get at. Isolating passages can be very dangerous. So as I'm seeking truth on this subject of wine and strong drink and fermented, whatever you want to call it, I want to exhaust the topic because there's a lot of consequences at hand. So we looked at the law first mentioned by way of review, and we found that the most faithful man on the planet at that time, named Noah. Everybody else was wrong. Everybody else was outside of the will of God. Everybody else was judged, but this one man who trusted God and believed God and found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he preached for God for 100 years and built a boat when it had never rained, warning of a flood. And in one night, he drank wine and got drunk, and out of it came a serious curse on his grandson. Some say a whole race of people were cursed. I don't believe that because the Ham, Canaan was Ham's son, and he had other sons, so you can't say Ham was not cursed. Canaan was cursed. But I'll tell you what, it didn't end good. First mention. See, I'm not just going to pick up, Jesus turned water. I'm going to look at this in this first man. A young man said this to me last week. He said, after the message, I got some great feedback, by the way, some powerful testimonies about people you'd look at in this room and say, they've always been a saint with a halo. Wrong-o. I wish I'd get them up here and let them give their testimonies. Some that grew up in the seats that you young people grew up in. I'm talking about in a church pew in conservative Christian homes, just shipwrecked. Really reiterating to me what I had said last week. I told you I liked it. And this person said the same thing. I can remember in my stupor a moment of clarity thinking, this is why people do this. The pain goes away. But one young man said this to me, I don't know if that in John 2, if that's fermented or non-fermented, and we'll talk about that as we go on. But he said, I got enough issues. I got enough temptations without asking for trouble. Then we looked at Lot. Not a real dedicated dad spiritually. Lot was a mixer. And he chose to mix. That's his prerogative. The thing is, you can choose to mix, but you can't choose the consequences of mixing. And it cost him the life of his son-in-laws. It cost him the life of his wife. And really, that was paled in comparison to what it cost the nation of Israel, because you know what happened from this, this relationship. And even Lot is as a mess as he was. There's some lines even he wouldn't cross over that his daughter said, we have to get him to drink wine. A man in the children of this sinful relationship, turned out to be the enemies and the thorns in the side of Israel forever. Here's a guy that the Bible says had a righteous soul. He escaped the judgment of God. He had that much faith, believed enough to get out of there. His daughters end up with bad thinking. Listen, bad thinking. Let me say something about that. Don't make crucial decisions in desperate situations without God. Crucial decisions in desperate situations without God never turns out good. I'll go far as to say, as what my pastor told me, don't even make them with God if you don't have to. I got to decide. No. If you don't have to decide, wait on that decision till you can get more clarity, get more counsel, get more light, get more doors open or closed. But they said, if we're going to get this crazy thing to come to pass that we're thinking, we got to get Dad to drink wine. I talked a little bit about Netflix and Hollywood and all this stuff. I know some of you are movie watchers and, you know, you look at the ratings and you see some things that maybe you skip past it or you feel convicted after or whatever it is. I'm the guy that Timmy was talking about, and this is before I was saved. When we first got saved, the cable television was a little brown box with 14 buttons across it. In our first year of marriage, every single night, dunk, dunk, nothing could keep my attention. But with that said, I've seen a lot of what Hollywood has to offer. And I've never seen anything like what happened with Lot. It's wicked. And I'm talking about the far extreme of wicked that comes on a screen. You've never seen nothing, not even close, with what you see in the Bible. And you know what they said? We got to get our father to drink wine. That's part of the wine tour. That's part of the tasting the wine that Noah tasted, that Lot tasted. We look at King Lemuel's mother, and she said, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. And I know we're reviewing, but I want to get that across. Somebody wants to get you drunk, and it's not God. We saw David. David knew, just running this theme, David knew, man, I'm in a mess. He's making bad decisions under pressure without God. He said, I got to get this guy drunk. It's the only thing that's going to save my hide. That guy had more character drunk. I know a man that got saved drunk. Charlie's not here. He's the what's that thing called that game board game? No, where you know all the stuff in the past? Trivia. Charlie's a trivia guy. So he knew who this guy was, but he was a preacher. He came to First Bible, and he got saved stone drunk. I think you do. You might never come out of it if you're on your way out. So let's continue in our wine tasting tour. 1 Kings chapter 16. Free of charge. We appreciate the tithe, of course, but free of charge. 1 Kings chapter 16. Just taking a tour, a little sip here and a little sip there. 16 and verse 8. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of the half of his chariot, sounds like he wasn't content with half, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. You know what the enemy said? Let's get the guy when he's drunk. Let's get the guy when he's weak. You don't get drunk and go into battle. The only drunk you get in a battle is in a bar fight, and that's the stupidest thing you ever did. I saw a guy one night. I wasn't 2 feet away. This guy, he must have been a martial artist, and this guy's all drunk in his face, and he did a roundhouse kick, and I watched his teeth go hit the floor. You know what something said to me? Some of you guys, you little bodybuilder, you little church boy bodybuilders, you better be careful who you mess with out there. Because I've seen cage fighters that would make Zane look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they'll knock you 10 times in your head, but you better be very careful about it. You know, I know you're good on the carpet basketball court over there. I'm just giving you a father's warning, amen? Kill him when he's drunk. The rate of alcohol-related emergency department visits increased 47% from 2006 to 14, which translates into the average annual increase. We're talking about alcohol-related emergency department, 200,000. I was going to save this for the end of my point here, but I'm going to get it now. Everybody's worried about this COVID death. I don't like the idea of it either. Fat guys don't want to die suffocating, okay? So take the shot, take the shot, take the shot, because people are dying, people are dying, and people are dying. How about don't take the shot, don't take the shot, don't take the shot of the schnapps and of the Canadian Club and of the liquor and of the booze, because people are dying. Just as many there. Alcohol contributes to 18% of emergency department visits and 22% of all this opioids, opioids, opioids. You know where it starts? It starts with the bottle. You take that bottle and you do things that you, I drink, but I don't take no, I drink, but I wouldn't get drunk. Don't doubt it. I drink and I might get a little drunk, but I'm not going to take no drugs. 90% of the people that start with the drink end with the drugs, and you're looking at someone that knows a lot about it. 95,000 people, 68,000 men, 27,000 women die from alcohol-related causes annually. I'm telling you, and I'm not talking about COVID, don't take the shot. Making alcohol the third leading preventable cause of death in the United States. And I've got to say it, even though I don't want to, unless we get prideful and puffed up, because we're not sipping saints. And the number one is heart disease. Between 2011 and 15, the leading cause of alcohol-attributed deaths due to chronic conditions in the United States were alcohol-related associated liver disease, heart disease, stroke, unspecified liver cirrhosis, upper aerodigestive tract cancers, liver cancer, supraventricular cardiac dysrhythmia, AUD, breast cancer, and hypertension. 2019, alcohol-impaired driving fatalities counted for almost 30% of every fatality on the highway. Alcohol-related. Shall we continue our tour? This isn't the Bible. I'm just trying to give you some information, because a lot of you, some of you, many of you, maybe a few of you, are going to face the temptation someday. And you know what? You may just go along your life like Grandpa Vito and have your little dish with your little drink with your pasta on Sunday. You may, but you know what? You may not either. And I want you to think about that. Because I'm telling you, take that and you like it. And You don't just like it like a lot of those guys did, because I like it with my pasta when I twist my spaghetti and a little sip of vino. No, man. That's them days. This is these days. I ain't getting near it. You can do what you want. Research indicates that alcohol use during the teenage years can interfere with normal adolescent brain development and increase the risk of developing AUD, whatever that is. In addition, underage drinking contributes to a range of acute consequences such as injuries, sexual assaults, alcohol overdoses, and deaths, including those from motor vehicle crashes. Alcohol is a factor in the deaths of thousands of people younger than age 21. 1,092 from motor vehicle crashes, 1,000 from homicides, 200 from alcohol overdose, falls, burns, drowning, 596 from suicide. Cheers. If there's such a thing as a death angel, and he gets his run of things, and he gets his way, and he just doesn't come with a sickle and chop your head off, I wonder if one of his common cries is, "Let's get him drunk." 2 Samuel 13. Verse 28. Just a little wine tour. Verse 27, 2 Samuel 13, 27. But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And you know what they did? They killed him. I mean, we saw the tie between the wine and the nakedness. Now we see the tie between the wine and the drunkenness and the murder. That's his half-brother he killed. Ask some of our law enforcement. Get on your app and listen to the police radio at night, and I'm telling you, 7 out of 10 calls, family trouble, family trouble, family trouble, family trouble, family trouble. How much domestic violence, how much domestic abuse, how much everything abuse, how many broken relationships, how many divorces stem from that? Killed his half-brother. Esther, chapter 1. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. This is nice, real nice. Esther chapter 1, verse 9. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, I wonder what the difference is between merry and drunk. I'm not sure I've talked to anyone on the street ever that said, "Oh, I get drunk." I've certainly never talked to a Christian that would say, "I get drunk." I mean, why would you drink wine if it didn't make you merry? Why would you drink wine if you didn't want to lose your inhibitions? It's not the best tasting stuff in the world. I mean, unless you're one of those old Italian guys, I guess the Bible said in the one place, he said the old is better if you're a wine connoisseur, but really. So he's merry. That means he's a little loose. That means he's just forgetting the law just a little bit. He'd get a little louder, you know. Just a little spit coming out of his mouth when he's talking. He commanded Meumon, Biztha, Habonah, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, what a name, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, his wife, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. Go get my wife and show her off. Parade her in here. But the queen Vashti refused to come to the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned with him. You enjoying the tour? Tell you what, it's not good for the home. Daniel chapter 5. Ask Dan. Watch his father beat his mother down. Come home drunk every single night. Mother have to tell her little boy, go down to the bar and get your father. Man, he make my home look like a church coming up. Listen, I'll go out on a big limb and risk losing friends and fellowship to say, do I think it's a sin to sip on a glass of fermented wine? I wouldn't bank my salvation on it. But in that same breath, I won't touch it either. Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast, verse 1, to thousand of his lords, and drank wine before the thousand. Okay. They're just having a party. However, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels. See, it mixed with his church life, man. Then, bro, they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes' wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold. And that's when the hands, those fingers wrote on the wall and said, you're done. Unless I'm wrong, I couldn't find if they were drinking when the day John the Baptist got his head lopped off, but if they were, I doubt it was apple juice. You know why? Because that stuff will make you do stuff you wouldn't dream of doing. Isaiah 28. Just taking a little wine tour, that's all. Because I don't want to bank everything on what I'm looking to get licensed to do in my life. And you get to learn cheap. The Bible's great. Well, you old guys, you don't know. Well, do these old guys, do they know? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot. Talk about separation. Is that the world or what? Just everybody's just drunk. And if they're not drunk, intoxicated-wise, they're just drunk. Nahum, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. I put the ribbons in my Nahum, so I wasn't up here flipping as long as you were. Nahum, if you're not there, just listen. Chapter 1, verse 10, for while they be folden together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Say, what's that? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. Just on a little tour, that's all. Some wine you enjoy, some wine you don't. Some wine you taste, some wine you don't. Amos, chapter 6, right before Jonah, if you can find that. Amos chapter 6, before Obadiah, sorry. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to the Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, they lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol. Sounds like tailgating today, doesn't it? They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. One more, 1 Samuel 30. Just a little wine tour. First Samuel 30, verse 15. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by my God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men which rode upon camels. A bunch of people got killed when they were drunk, eating, drinking, and dancing. All this before the wedding at Cana. We got to walk through and see Noah and see Lot and see David and see Belshazzar and see these other guys and not having to suffer any of the consequences. King Lemuel's mother said this, listen, there's two things that'll ruin you, son. They'll bring you down. Women and wine. Women and wine. Now, Proverbs 23. Neither one of those is to be approached flippantly. And the reason I said that is because as we continue here, look at the two, verse 26, Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give me thine heart. Boy, that's a hard thing for a son to do, isn't it? Got a father done the best he could. Follow God, bring you up in church. show you the ways of the Lord, keep your home clean, doesn't beat your mother, doesn't come home drunk. And the guy's got to say, give me your heart, son. That's your choice, young person.
Yep, that's right.
And I'll tell you what, if you can't give your heart to your father whom you have seen, you're going to have a real hard time giving it to the God whom you've not seen. It's great practice. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And look at how he goes into this. For a whore is a deep ditch. Don't look at the whore, son. Look at me. And a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey. Somebody wants to get you drunk and somebody wants to get you with a whore. And I don't mean to make sport here. I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but it makes a great point. Archie Bunker said the whores are going broke because all the regular girls are giving it away for free. So it doesn't have to be somebody parading down on Clifford Avenue that's a whore that's paid. They might be anywhere around you where you're at. A whore's just loose and just lets her... So he hits the woman thing, and then he says, who hath woe? Now listen, we're taking a wine tour, right? This is awesome. Who hath woe? Look at the words before the question mark. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now right there, are we saying, boy, I can't wait to find out because this is what I want. They that tarry long at the wine... Now, you figure out what this is. They that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now, if it's not fermentation and that thing bubbling and moving, come later and tell me what it is. At the last, and this is really... proof of, I think, what we assume, at the last, not at the beginning, at the last, not in Dad's refrigerator with your Carhartt coveralls and putting those two black labels in there, not at the beginning, at the last, you're in the back of the police car. At the last, you're cheating on your wife. Not me. At the last, you're cheating on your girlfriend. At the last, you're making a fool of yourself. Not at the beginning. It biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. I don't like spiders. I don't know where in the world I started a coal fire and these stink bugs are coming out of nowhere. You want to see a fat Italian panic, Brother Tim? I'm sleeping, falling asleep, and all of a sudden, talk about stink. A stink bug is on my hand in my bed. Look at, that ain't nothing to compare to this serpent. Snakes, God bless you, Damon, we'll support you. I told Lisa it was my back that made me can't. That's half of it. My little grandsons will come in with these snakes. I was walking last year through on my prayer walk. I'm telling you, there was 10 of them under a bridge all like this. And I said, man, that's like the devil. And then kind of one in a, I mean, little things. I'm getting out of here. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, full circle. There are things you would do with strange women you wouldn't think of doing. Saying you wouldn't think of saying. And this is why, and I'm not saying we don't have our sin here, we don't have our sexual sin here, we don't have our adultery here, we don't have our fornication here, I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you what, I bet if you look at it with those that abstain, I bet it's a whole lot less. Come on, man, you're going to have a pool party, a Christian pool party. with the wine flowing and the bikinis and the bathing suits, after what the wine tour you just took, and you wonder why you have adultery and fornication and divorce in the church? Not saying we don't have it. I don't like snakes. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down. I remember the first time I read this, I'm like, wow! I thought this was an old, prude, antiquated book. It's got my number. Be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth on the top of the... They've stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. I've seen guys get their brains beat in and get up and come back for more. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And this is the sad part. When shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again. And that's what a drunk does. The booze takes away the hangover. Day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. And then the next thing you know, your liver's taken away and your brain's taken away and your life's taken away. Now, Ephesians 5, this will be the last verse. When you get all that, Timmy, when you get all that, when you get all that, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine where is an excess. That's getting all of that. Now you're ready to start. You've not arrived. You've not finished. The goal is not to abstain. The goal is to obtain. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess. And if you stop there, you are a blank. You are a neutral. You are separated, but you're not separated unto anything. Paul said, separated unto the gospel. I told the testimony 100 times here. That was Joe Lonsky's issue, man. He was on more than this. He was on hard stuff, and he'd go 7 months clean. And then Sandy would call, or he would call, and I said, you know what your trouble is? He goes, man, I don't have a checkbook. I don't have a car. I don't have a credit card. I don't keep any cash. And I made it for 6 months, and at the first opportunity, I said, you know what your problem is, Joe? You're separated, but you're not separated unto something. You need to get into a church that has a bunch of hardheads that came and get involved in the work of God and be filled with something else, because this being longs to be filled with something, longs to be consumed with something, longs to be dedicated to something, longs to be controlled by something. And God doesn't want it to be spirits. He wants it to be the Spirit. Let's stand. Jason, let's sing 247. 247, fill me now. I said it last week. I didn't abstain until I obtained. You know, we got some folks here that have been in AA. And let me tell you something about AA. I'm for it. I've seen lots of people take their first step, whereas they were downright heathen, atheist, agnostic, to say, okay, there's a higher power. Listen, from my little research, I'm not an expert on it, be it drugs, be it sex, be it alcohol, the professionals will tell you, as much as they hate to, the only model that works is that which acknowledges a higher power. We just put a name on him, Jesus Christ. But we've got them that have come through that, and that was enough to get them in. But you know what the trouble, okay, as this is what I'm going to do, and again, I'm not putting it down. I'm for it. If you're lost or you're even saved and you need that, but the people that have come to me that finally got a name on the higher power said, yeah, I guess I've always been a drunk. I'm a recovering alcoholic. That Bible says such as were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. So I'm just going to go to these meetings I haven't had something for 27 years. No, I've been filled for 27 years, and I don't want something anymore. But number.